You're listening to David Matto Radio.
Welcome to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is the show that teaches you how to become stronger, thinner, healthier, happier, and much more. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Matto.
Hey there, it's Dr. Dave, and welcome back to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. It's the show where I help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. A lot more than that. I'm in my outdoor studio. About 5 minutes ago, I put a post in one of my Facebook groups. This was Supercharge Your Life Hangout, by the way. If you want to join that, I invite you to come over there. Just find us, Supercharge Your Life Hangout. You can actually go to superchargehangout.com. It'll redirect you. It's a really cool group of a few hundred people that are like-minded, and we just help each other live our best lives ever. And so the message I wrote in this group was, I'm recording a show in 5 minutes. I'm going to take the first three questions, whatever they are. I'm not going to edit anything out. I'm not going to skip anything. Whatever the first three questions are, I am going to answer them. So I'll take the first three. And right away, within several minutes, I got three questions that came in. Boom, boom, boom. I am planning to answer those right now on this show. It's really funny. I had another topic I was going to totally discuss. And This idea just hit me. I just, you know, what the heck? I want to hear what your questions are, and I'd like to answer them. So let's get right into it. I got three really good ones. What I'm going to do, I'm going to read the question, and I'm going to read your first name and where you're from, the state you're from. We'll keep it, you know, fairly confidential. So, you know, we don't give anybody's last name or whatever. Well, I'm going to keep it like that. So let's get right into it, won't we? And again, I have not edited these questions in any way. They're exactly the questions that were asked, and I'm going to do my best. And now I have not prepared answers. I have not prepared anything. I've not thought about it. I've not rehearsed. I'm going to answer these totally off the cuff. Whatever comes to my mind first, I'm going to be thinking as I'm doing the show with you. So let's get right into the first one. The first one is from Chris in Maryland, and Chris asks me, what is your biggest fear? That's actually a really good question, and I have to think about that for a second. I know this is not my biggest fear, but I'm going to tell you one of my fears. It's really interesting. One of my fears is actually heights. Now I've kind of overcome that, but still, see, and I'm a backpacker. You know that I'm about backpacker and a mountain climber. So I've been up to some crazy heights, doing some weird things on ledges and cliffs, and you know where there's basically a 1,000-foot drop. I remember we were backpacking actually in Grand Canyon, and there's a side canyon there. It's really unbelievable. You can't imagine what Grand Canyon is like until you actually backpack or hike all the way down into the canyon and just see there's not just one canyon. There's not just like the main canyon. There's all these these big side canyons that in of themselves, they would be, if they were relocated anywhere else, they would be tremendous, tremendous attractions. But these are only side canyons off of the main Grand Canyon. And I remember backpacking through Grapevine Canyon in Grand Canyon. And let me tell you, there was like this part of the trail that was downward sloping. So imagine you're kind of like hiking, but it's kind of this downward sloping hill. You're hiking along this thing, it's downward sloping. And just to your right, there's like about a 2,000-foot sheer cliff drop-off. So if you slip, if it's wet, if somebody pushes you or something like that, you're basically falling to your death 2,000 feet. And I remember it was kind of scary. Not kind of. It was very scary. I was hiking with, Yoko, Landy, Lou, I think just three other people. And Landy was trying to talk to me while we're walking through this little area. And I remember distinctly, Landy, please do not talk. I need to concentrate. I am really scared. But that's not my greatest fear. And I overcome that. Like I do these things to kind of help me overcome my fear of heights. But something about looking down a cliff that you're standing on the edge of that's like 2,000 feet plus, it's scary. So I'm scared of that. I am scared. I admit it. It's okay. But I think my biggest fear is probably probably dying. And it's not really the fear of dying itself. Like the act of actually dying is not really that fearful to me. It's kind of like whatever would lead up to it. So, like, for example, if I get shot, I mean, God forbid, hopefully I never get shot, but in other words, if I'm in horrible pain, if I'm drowning, if I can't breathe, if I'm choking, something like that, and that would lead to death. That's really, really scary to me. So I think that's what I would have to say is probably my biggest fear. And I believe some of this may come from past life. I don't really know. You know, maybe in a past life I got into a crazy drowning accident, or maybe fell off a cliff 2,000 feet. I don't know the answer. But I think that's because I'm really not afraid of a lot of things, and I'm not afraid of my health going downhill. I do everything I can to stay healthy. I'm not afraid of being homeless or losing friends or things like that. I just and if things happen to me in my life, I'm pretty confident I can take care of them. But being in like serious end of life pain, health issues, and leading to death is probably my greatest fear. Maybe I should try to overcome that too, because I know we all have to die. I know that, but it's what would lead up to the act of dying, not really dying itself. I think once you die, you're probably extremely comfortable wherever you may be. I've read all kinds of books on near death experiences, and it actually sounds like from all accounts, it sounds like people, once they die and they come out of their physical body, it sounds like they're just in a beautiful, beautiful place. So that's not scary to me at all. It's like, what would lead up to that? So, okay, Chris, I hope I answered that question okay. And again, I didn't rehearse. I didn't think about this at all before. I just reading the question, I'm answering it totally, totally off the cuff. So that was a good one. Thanks so much for that, Chris. Next question, Eric asks, "What is one life lesson I would share?" And Eric is from South Carolina, by the way. "What is one life lesson I would tell my 30-year-old self?" One life lesson I would tell my 30-year-old self. That's a great one, Eric. Let me think about that one for a second too. I think that would have to be, I mean, I think there are a lot of them, number one. There are a lot. I wish I would have known the powers of being vegan and not eating animals when I was 30. I wish I would have known that powerful thing. That's definitely one. But the one that kind of really stays, I mean, there are a lot. This is a great question. And I could probably do a whole episode on this one. And maybe I will come back and do lessons I wish I would have taught my 30-year-old self or something like that, or lessons I'd like to teach my 30-year-old self. But I think if I had to give you one, this is going to sound like it doesn't really fit, because, I mean, it should be something like do everything in your power to be happy, love mankind, love people, treat animals well, but the one that really just comes to my mind, the one life lesson I would have taught my 30-year-old self, or earlier, or even younger, maybe I could just say my 20-year-old self would be better, but it would be financial, actually. And I know, Eric, this will really resonate with you. And I know it'll resonate with a lot of people, but it'll be financial. And then the lesson would be something like, stay the course. Don't deviate from the course when saving money and investing money. So the lesson would be something like, spend much less than you make. Invest the difference. Always be investing the difference in safe investments. Don't think you can, don't get tips from your friends and invest in crazy things in the stock market. Safe mutual fund investments, and stay the course, and don't be tempted to pull your money out when you think things are going bad in the economy and then think you're going to jump back in when things are going better. Just stay the course, stay even, and keep investing every single month. Pay yourself first, which means the first thing you do with your money is you invest that amount that you're going to put aside every single month, and you keep doing it no matter what the political climate is, no matter what the economic climate is, no matter what. You just keep putting that money in your investments every month, including your retirement funds every month. And let me tell you something, if you do that and you don't get emotional about it and you don't listen to what other people are doing and all that craziness, I got some stories I could tell you about what people told me to do when I was younger. But if you just do it that way, you will be a millionaire plus by the time you're ready to retire, probably a multimillionaire. But you have to do that. And I wish somebody would have told me that. I wish somebody would have spanked me on my butt every time I made one of these stupid mistakes. Like when the economic climate starts going down and the stock market goes down, I stop sending money in. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's the time to send money in. When things are going down and everybody's worried and going crazy, you send more money in because guess what? It's always going to come back up. As long as we've had the stock market, as long as we've had the Dow, the NASDAQ, it's always been on an upward trend. Always. Now, does it go down sometimes? Of course it does. Did it go down like crazy in 2009 and people lost on paper, people lost half of their assets? Yes. But guess what? Now, as I'm recording this, we're on the cusp of the Dow hitting 20,000 for the first time in history. We just passed 19,000 for the first time in history just a few days ago. And so this recording is coming out within days of me recording this. I mean, this podcast is coming out, this episode, within days of me recording this. So it's pretty up to date. So that's my lesson that I would teach my 30-year-old self and any other 30-year-olds or similar ages out there. That's a great, great question. And I just only wish, God, do I wish I would have done that. I've got some stories. I had this hotshot investment planner, I guess you call him, a financial planner, who, when things were going really well back in like 1999 and I was making all kinds of money and I had all kinds of money to invest, this hotshot had me invest in like three or four different private placements, and I sent a lot of money over to him. And then, of course, we had the crash around 2000, 2001. We had, you know, the bubble that burst in 2000 and then 9/11 in 2001, and things just came tumbling down, and I lost the amount of money I lost. It would floor you. I couldn't even tell you how much it. But oh my God, that's another episode, another story for another time. Great question, Eric. I really appreciate that. So let's see. Let's pull out the next question, the third and final question. As I sip my hot coffee out here, it's a really cold afternoon. It just feels beautiful. I just like to come out to my outdoor studio because I preach to you that you should be one with nature. And I just love to have my feet planted on the soil, on the earth. And it just feels so good. I get invigorated when I'm outside recording as opposed to sitting at a desk inside with my beautiful mixer and microphone. I think I'm more creative and more vocal and more, whatever, outside. It just does something to my body, and that's why I urge you to go outside when you're doing your Magic 4, or when you're running, or when you're doing anything. I urge you to get outside no matter what the temperature is. You can bundle up, you can layer up. Right now I've got several layers on. It feels great out here, so I urge you to, another lesson from Dave, just another lesson. Tom from Tennessee writes, what is a goal that you have not achieved yet that you're pretty sure you will accomplish? A goal that I haven't yet achieved, and you know, and Tom must know I'm a big goals guy, definitely a big goals guy. I've lived by goals for at least the past, oh my God, at least the past 25 years for sure. And when you write them down and when you read them every single day, they have a way of working their way. They have the way of coming true. So what's a goal that I haven't reached yet that I'm pretty certain I will reach? Okay, great question. Let's see. That's going to be, okay, that's an easy one, Tom. Easy. I think my goal is that I know I'm going to reach is that Yoko and I will have a house, our primary home in Colorado, in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado, most likely Breckenridge. That is a goal. We both have it written down in our goal sheets, book of goals. We both have it written down. I read it every single day. I know it's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. A few things have to fall into place, which I know they will. I mean, the timing is there. I'll tell you guys a little. You know, I always pay cash for everything. I do not take out loans. I do not take out mortgages. When I buy a house, I pay cash. Everything, every single thing I have is paid for. Standing outside, I'm looking at my house right now that's paid for. I'm looking at my cars. They're paid for. Everything. So I'm not going to move out there and borrow money to buy a house. I'm not going to do that. So the only thing that's really stopping me now, well, there are a few minor things, but the major thing that's stopping me, I need to wait and save up a little bit more money for a house, because when I sell this house here, it's a really nice house, but it's not going to bring me enough money to buy what we want out in Colorado. And it's not that we're looking for a mansion. Trust me, we're really not. We're minimalists. We're looking for something actually fairly small, but I also want it to be just the right place in the right area. So it's going to cost a little bit more money than the house is going to bring us right here. For the sale of the house is going to bring us right here. And, the biggest problem is, and it's not a problem at all, but I share everything with you all, and I just want to share this with you. And I know I've talked about this before. About 1.5 years ago, I wrote a tremendous check to my ex-wife to finalize a financial obligation that I had from a divorce that took place about 16 years ago. Well, the state of Maryland has something called permanent alimony. It's absolutely ridiculous. And basically, for the rest of my life, I was supposed to be writing her this huge check every month. And nothing bad about her. I'm not, you know, it was all done and it was all legal and you know, That's pretty much what the deal was, and I'm not bad mouthing anybody. And I tell you something else, she's a wonderful person, but I still had this obligation to her. I did, and I did not want to have this obligation for the rest of my life. I don't know what's going to be happening. You know, I don't know how long I want to work. I want to work forever, but I don't know how long I want to be pressured into making a certain amount of money so I could pay, you know, a very huge amount of money every month for permanent alimony. So I wanted to work out a deal to get out of that. And in order to work out a deal like that, it took a huge, huge, huge check that I had to write, which depleted a large portion of my assets, to be very honest with you. Now, don't start crying and don't worry about it. I'm okay. I still have some money, but it's nothing like I used to. I mean, God, it's just nothing like I had before I had to write this check. So I need to kind of work on building up a little bit more. And then I gave up. That might be TMI. It might be too much information, but it's okay. The reason that I do this show is because I am totally transparent. I really don't hold back. If I held back, I mean, I'm going to share my life with you so you can learn from me and learn from the good things I do and from the mistakes. And if I held stuff back, if I like held back part of my life and didn't share with you and kind of made it seem like everything's perfect in my life, it wouldn't be doing you a good service, because it wouldn't be right. Because As good as my life is, I've got crazy things that have happened to me in the past and probably will, you know, happen in the future, because we're all human beings and crazy things do happen. So I want to share that with you. It was a tremendous struggle I had for many, many, many years, because I had this really, really difficult financial obligation every single month, whether money was coming in or not. I had this huge, if I told you how much money it was, and I'm not going to do that because that's not fair to anybody. If I told you how much money it was, you would probably faint. But this huge financial obligation was basically never ending, and I had to end it. I had to. And it took a huge, huge, huge amount of money to end it. But I'm good. I feel like this tremendous weight was lifted off of my shoulder, and I'm rebuilding, and that's fine. So Tom, I answered that in very long-winded, I think. That's my goal that I know is going to happen. And it's going to happen most likely within 2 to 3 years. That's what we're planning. We're planning to, you know, move everything out there in two to three years, something like that. Again, give or take. But I'm excited. Whenever Yoko and I are out west, whenever we're in Breckenridge, Colorado, in the mountains, and Tom, you know about this too. I know Tom personally. And thanks for writing the question in. Not all of you guys. I mean, I appreciate all of you writing these questions. Chris, Eric, and Tom. I happen to know all of you, you know, fairly well. So I appreciate that a lot. But there are also other goals that I read every single day on my goal sheet, but that is the main one that I think is probably Tom was looking for that answer right there. That's the thing that comes to my mind first. Wow. Okay, I'm out of breath. I think I like this idea. I think I like the idea of putting something on Facebook saying, okay, the first three questions you ask, I'm going to answer these right away. We'll do this again. I think, and when I do it, I'll promise that whatever the question is, even if I don't really like the question, I'll answer it in some way. So it'll make it fair that you know if you write a question and you're the first three, you know it's going to get answered. So I kind of like that. I hope you like this show. I hope you did. Feel free to send me an email and let me know if you kind of like the concept. I'd like to do kind of a live call-in show, and I did that. I think I did it one time, once or twice. It was difficult because I need certain equipment, so it was not easy to do. Technically, it's not a simple thing to do, but I think I tried that early on in my when I first started my podcast. I didn't try call-in. I think what I did, we recorded some questions and then played them on the show. That's what it was, and I answered them live. That's what it was. But let's see if this thing works. Let me know if you like it. Send me an email. You know my email. Come on, you definitely know it. It's dave@davidmatto.com. Send me an email. Let me know what you think. Hang out with us on Facebook. We're there. It's the Supercharge Your Life Hangout group on Facebook. I'd love to have you with us. And until next time, I am Dr. Dave. I'll see you next week. Have a great one.
Thanks for listening to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. Please be sure to join us again next week. And remember, you are no longer alone.